The Burt Show.
Here's Natasha in studio hanging out with us this morning. How are you, Natasha Bedingfield?
Why, hello. I'm good. Thank you.
It's good to see you again.
You too.
This is you.
It's me. It's my new song. Do you like it?
I do like it. Do you like it?
I do, yes.
Can you
is that
say?
Okay? Am I allowed to like my own music?
Song. Absolutely.
Of course. Yeah. Well, I think the real question is, are you not allowed to like your music? Like, is there a song that you would honestly 100% say right now, I did that song and it sucks?
Well, the problem is that I'm British, and in England, we are known for being self-deprecating. We can't, you know, you're kind of arrogant if you say that you love yourself too much. You know what I mean?
Okay, so.
But I do love my music. But you've got to, because it's like I sing it so much. You know, it's like, for example, I can't get sick of Unwritten.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everyone wants me to sing it, or Pocket Full of Sunshine, or, you know, so those songs, hopefully I don't get sick of. Hopefully no one else does either.
Right. When you
That's the British side coming in.
I was going to say, you're in America now. You can be as egotistical as you want.
Yeah.
You can be loud, brash.
Yeah. It's the American way.
Self-serving.
Look, Russell Brand has adapted well.
Yeah, right.
Yes, you're right.
Are you proud of Russell Brand?
Very proud.
Are
extremely.
You?
Yeah, he's fantastic. He's got a great accent too, hasn't he? I think
he
most
does.
Of the time people are just laughing at the way he, like his delivery of it.
Well, your accent is pretty cool too. I don't know
Thank
if you,
you
can hear it.
Are you laughing at me?
I'm not laughing at all. No, I think it's great.
But I noticed that. No, I like the Atlanta accent. You don't have an Atlanta accent.
No, that's because I'm not from here.
Yeah.
No one in here really has a southern accent. But
it's
Jeff
really
does a
beautiful.
Great southern accent. Jeff masters in accents.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and show off?
Well, that,
<you
do? laughs> that was his job before he got into radio, actually, was to teach
do
others
accents?
Do accents. Yes.
I spent, they're making fun of me because I spent some time in England and I came back with the accent. And there's a good,
it's fantastic.
There's a
He's
good,
like Madonna.
It's funny when Americans do an English accent because they're like,
yeah, really? Well, it's funny when English
what's
people.
What's like that.
Why don't you show her? Now, why don't you now, flex your?
Now it's getting personal.
I'm sure it's better than my southern accent.
Yeah. Why don't you do a southern accent?
No, I can't. I've been forbidden.
If you, why don't you try the American accent, and then I'll tell you how you should be talking in Britain.
Come on, give it a try.
Let's have a
southern accent.
Let's have a conversation.
You talk funny. No, I was actually on an airplane with a friend, and there was this real cowboy sitting in the middle of me and my guitarist. And we just started talking over him because he wouldn't let us sit together anyway. So he turns to us and he's like, you talk funny. He's like, I bet y'all think I talk funny too.
That's not bad.
And I just looked at him and I'm like, are you a real cowboy or is that just fashion?
Is there no such thing as like an English cowboy? A British cowboy?
I was so shocked when I saw people wearing real cowboy hats. Like
really?
Like that's something that you do at a dress-up party in England. Like that's not real. Like I didn't realize people still did that. You know, I love cowboy movies and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, she's from Texas.
Yeah, my dad wears a cowboy hat every single day of his life.
That's and fantastic.
Boots.
And it actually does serve a function, right? Like it does stop the sun from...
Stops the sun, yeah, it's a fashion statement. The bigger the hat, the better. So you can't like bend the
belt
either.
The bigger the hat, the bigger the gun.
Yeah,
that's right.
Natasha's like fascinated by cowboy culture.
Yeah.
Like it's in the
Smithsonian. So it's not cowboy in Nashville. Lots of cowboys in Nashville, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And real cowboy. That's more fashion than
yeah.
But isn't that more like what the stereotypical American looks like? To people in like Europe or Britain or whatever, like they think that we all wear cowboy hats and we're all cowboys.
No, because we see a lot of American movies, so there's a wide range of different type of Americans, and I think everyone's familiar with that. So you have your rappers, you know, you have your you have your American tourists. That's definitely a stereotype too. Mm-hmm.
And what is the stereotype with American tourists? I dare ask.
You mentioned it earlier.
The topless thing?
No.
What's
that?
What are you talking about?
What
the hell are you talking about?
Go to Europe. They get very excited that you can sunbathe topless.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Who would do that in this room, Jen?
You have to have good boobs. I'm sorry to say that on air, but you do.
It's okay.
Like that's the unfortunate thing about topless beaches. Sometimes, you know, like in Vegas, they have a pool that you can sunbathe topless, but it's not normally the woman who... like, has the you best want boobs. To see.
That's, it's the same thing with like nude like beaches. Beach. Like, at least in the United States, like I've only been to a couple of nude beaches, but disappointing every time because everybody that's on a nude beach, you want to be like in a parka and jeans and a cowboy hat.
But it's actually, I think it's quite nice when you see other people naked because I think it makes you feel more accepting of your own body as well. I have to say that.
When you're on European vacation, do you go topless?
I'm not going to say. No, I don't actually.
You don't?
Yeah, I'm afraid of the paparazzi.
Oh,
that's true. Yeah. But if you weren't,
but I have great breasts, so I could.
She loves her songs. She loves her breasts.
Right.
But I'm the reason that the topless beaches don't look as good as they should.
Oh, boy. Exactly. There's that English self-deprecating thing again, right? Jen just did it for the first time.
Yeah, well, I went to France last week. I was in the south of France, and so it was just kind of a fun thing to do.
Oh, I love that.
But
fun.
I'm very, very pale in that area.
Did you get sunburned?
No, because I didn't do it for long enough.
Okay.
I mean, it was just a little while, but I just had to like try it just
That's
to see what
so
it felt
awesome.
Like. And I felt really, really naked and it was really uncomfortable.
Oh, really?
That was like topless 101 though. Like if you really want to get bold, you walk across the sand into the ocean.
Yeah. No, it was just where we were laying out. Yeah.
Mm. Did you have any issues with the paparazzi?
Yes. They were hounding me.
Is that sort of have, just to get a little deep here, Natasha, is that how you sort of have to live your life now? Are you always sort of looking over your shoulder to see who's taking a picture
a
of you?
A little bit. Like the other day I was going, I have this amazing pool at our house, and I was walking down to the pool to give all our guests ice cream, and I seriously had like three or four big, huge tubs of ice cream in my hand, and like my hair pulled back and no makeup, and just what probably mascara running down my face from swimming and stuff, and I'm carrying this ice cream, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, I hope there's no paparazzi there. And they weren't. So
they would have
fine.
Some headline about Natasha binging on ice cream.
Right. But that's the problem, is they're always there when you don't want them there. So it's always when you didn't, like one night, like where I went out and I think I had a really bad hangover. And I woke up very, very early. So I decided to go for a walk. And it was that day with no makeup, with a hangover, that there was someone chasing me back to my house.
Damn.
Yeah. So you just have to. I don't know.
Do you empathize like with the celebrities that from time to time are walking through LAX and they just lose it for a couple of minutes and they grab the camera of the paparazzi
Definitely.
And throw it down? Is there
yes.
somewhere inside of you you're like, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, because usually that's what they want. So they will ask you questions in a way that will provoke
you.
Yeah, because that's a good story. You know, but I think that's the thing. It's like this. I mean, I'm not one to complain for that because this is the whole industry that we're in. It's like a relationship with the public. And I think everyone's got that relationship now with the public. Everyone's Twittering.
Mm-hmm.
You were Twittering early on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you tweet?
Tweet, yes.
Do you Twitter? Tweet?
Yes.
You do?
Do I twat? Are you allowed to say that one?
They're not going to find me. They'll find you.
The look on her face was awesome. You know, I just blame it on the English accent.
Yeah. Translation.
Do
you ever look up to see, like, because with Twitter, you could be, you know, in a restaurant, you know, at a Denny's after a show at 3 in the morning with eggs stuck on your shirt or whatever, and somebody's going to take a picture of it and put it up. Do you look up yourself to see who's Twitter stalking you?
Not really, yeah. But so I have a friend who Twitters and he makes up stuff, and I like that. Like, he's like, oh, Puff Daddy just walked in the studio right now. He'll just like, oh, I'm having lunch with the Queen, and he'll just make stuff up. Which is
Katy Perry was in here a couple of months ago, and she said the same thing. Like, her and Russell Brand will just make stories up.
Yeah, why
tweet
not?
Tweet different things or make stories up for the fun. I think you're pretty good about ducking away from paparazzi and not getting involved in that whole thing, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really, like, court it, so.
And your husband's not in the industry, right?
Yeah, he makes films and stuff. So
but
he's
not the music.
He's
side
not.
Of
yeah,
things.
He's not the music side. So we can dodge that.
Has that part of the music industry gotten sort of out of control, like the marketing and the over the topness? Not naming any names like Lady Gaga or anything, but like just that somehow the music has taken a back seat to more of the sizzle of the industry.
I mean, I think there's something for everyone, you know? And so if we want to be entertained, there's people who are going to entertain us with stories of their own personal life. And it's like, it's, you know, you can read it in magazines and it's like an actual, some people are actually like a real life soap opera, you know? And I think that there's a place for that, and there's a place for real music. And I think the only challenge is where, if you put like sensation over quality, you know, like if it's like all about, you know, like on YouTube, for example, the most freakish thing is the thing that everyone looks at the most. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you could miss some really good stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, do you think the quality of music now is sort of diminished because of...
I don't know. I think that because of the internet, I think that there's a lot more freedom and that it's kind of like put the power over into people's hands so that people who weren't getting record deals because maybe they weren't fitting the mold, mm-hmm. now they're actually mm-hmm. able to get their own fans, you know, and actually prove that they have fans, and there's like numbers of like, you know, I think it's kind of like bust it open a bit.
Yeah, I think a dude that you worked on, well, Sean Kingston was discovered that way, right? Mm-hmm. You worked with him on that. So without the internet, we don't even know who Sean Kingston is, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like it. And I like that you know, that it's so interactive and, you know, it's like we've all got to be on our game. We've got to express who we are. We can't have this mysterious, you know, like even when I signed up, my record deal was like 6 years ago or something, or 5 years ago maybe. And at that time, I had to get like approval on any picture that I put out. Like there was, internet was just like a very small part of the publicity that you would do. And an artist was built up to be this very mysterious thing that you couldn't really grasp, and that you one day, you know, you wanted to kind of, it was all about the mystery, and now it's all about who are you? And like we all want to know, and I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Natasha Bedingfield hanging out with The Burt Show this morning. Tell us about the new album, because this is coming out in the fall, is that right?
Yes, in the fall. It's brand new. I've been working on it for over a year, and I'm really excited about it. I really think it's a very, it's like, I really pulled myself in, like you said, to a body of work, and the songs just have a really nice flow to them, and just, I think people will like it.
Do you feel like you've grown up as an artist?
I think I'm always trying to express new side. I mean, every artist is trying to discover new parts to themselves and actually like see what's possible in music. And it's just crazy that you can make so many, you know, out of a few notes that exist in the world, there's so many variations and so many different things that you can do. And I just feel like I really definitely express part of myself in this album that I haven't been able to before.
Well, thanks for coming in. Thanks
for
sharing. And the new song is Touch. We just played it for you guys a couple of minutes ago. And it's already doing really, really well, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just you guys added it straight away, which is I'm so grateful. And it's only been out for a couple of weeks. And yeah, it's doing great. It's starting to get some hits on iTunes. Like I performed on TV. I put, is it called? So You Think You Can Dance?
Yeah.
And just last week. And it's great.
Well, cool. And
congratulations.
We will play it a lot here. And thanks again for coming in, Natasha. You're awesome. You're always awesome when you come in. Thanks.
Thank you.
Here, Burt Show. This is The Burt Show.
I don't believe this. The statistic I'm about to read, I do not believe.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if we can get any dudes to call. Well, let me just tell you what the stat is first. It says psychologists and researchers have seen an increasing number of women becoming addicted to pornography on the internet over the past 10 years. That's not shocking, but the numbers that they reveal here are pretty shocking. Survey says that 17% of women said they struggled with pornography addiction. 17. Let's just round that up to 20. Mm-hmm. So 1 in 5 women?
I'm surprised by that too.
That's one of three. We got 5 women in here. That would mean Melissa Carter, you are addicted to porn in some way, shape, or form. That seems high.
It does. Yeah. I'm surprised. I'm really surprised by that because I don't think that women are as visually stimulated as men. I mean, they can be, but I don't think it can be. At least my perception is that it wouldn't be as addictive for a woman as it could be for a man.
You know how there are some times that we'll ask questions on The Burt Show, and the goal is to not get any phone calls because we think it's such a unique segment that no one will call. I got one for you because we've never heard this in 9 years. I would love to hear from a guy, and we'll put you on the voice disguiser, that has broken up with a woman because she was downloading or checking out too much porn on the internet. Now, we've done this a million times the other way around.
Yeah.
But we have never heard a guy say that the problem in my relationship is my woman and her pornography. Because according to this, 1 out of every 5, almost 1 out of every 5 women are struggling with pornography addiction.
Would a guy be as insecure with it if a woman was doing it in the relationship? Like, Bert, if Stacey was looking at porn, would you be insecure about her looking at it all the time?
First couple years would be cool. And then I think it probably wears off.
Depends on how much.
Fun no more, honey.
It depends on if she's watching with you or if it's mm-hmm. replacing you.
Yeah.
Once you've been replaced by it, there's, you know, there's no going back.
1-877-588-BERT, B-E-R-T, 877-588-2378. I want to put dudes on the voice disguiser that have broken up with women because their women were addicted to porn. That was like the major in the relationship. 1 in 3 visitors to pornography sites were women.
Really?
Yeah. I am surprised
by that. I'm very shocked.
About 30% of internet pornography consumers are women.
Are you sure that's not guys signing up as women?
I don't know.
That's why I read their username and profile is all a woman. And
Maria Sandoval.
Really
sure you are. studies have shown that women find it easier to click a few buttons on the internet to search for sexually alluring material. 1 in 5 women say that they have a problem with it. Check this out. Bob's going to prove me wrong.
Wow.
We'll call him Bob, and he is on the voice disguiser. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, man.
Hey.
I broke up. I was in a relationship with an older woman, and I broke up with her because she had a really bad obsession with pornography.
Really?
Now,
obsession?
Yes.
Obsession. So how many times a day was she checking out porn online?
Well, she had tried to disguise it so many times, but I kept seeing it in the internet history. But I would say at least 9 to 10 times per day.
Really?
Wow.
And, okay. I was going to.
That's intense.
I was going to ask more questions about it because the phone lines are lit up, by the way.
Yeah, because I think there is a stereotype that this is a guy thing and guys wouldn't have a problem with it and women don't usually do this. What was the final straw for you before you left? Like, what was the final conversation like?
Well, for me personally, because honestly, I mean, I was young once, you know, and as a teenager, you struggle with that kind of thing, I believe. But what it ended up happening was I just talked to her about it, and I was like, look, this is ruining things because I feel like you're not attracted to me enough. And honestly, I talked to her about it, and she acted like everything was going to be okay, but then I saw the same stuff happening again a couple of weeks later. Mm-hmm. And so I finally just told her I couldn't handle it anymore.
Wow. So you literally broke up with her because she was watching too much porn?
Yes, sir, literally.
Wow. Not the only one. Here's John. Good morning. You are on The Burt Show, and you're on The Voice Disguiser.
Morning. I've done the same thing. Had to break up with a woman because of porn.
Really? I didn't think we'd get any calls.
Wow.
I thought no calls on this. Like Melissa was saying, at what point, like the first time that you found out that she was checking out those sites, it was probably sort of a turn on for you, right? At what point did it get all turned around?
For the first 3 months, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would do it together, and then I realized, wait a minute, we weren't doing it together all the time. And then, you know, we had toys and whatnot. And then you start feeling replaced by it, and everything seemed to be going good. Then she would get off early from work, go home, and look at it, and then use a toy, and then you start feeling, you know, like you're not even needed anymore.
If we took a transcript of what you were saying right now, the exact words that you were saying right now, we've had this conversation dozens of times with women that have said the exact same thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's like I said, at first, it is fun. And then it gets to the point where, you know, well, why am I needed? Well, I don't need to be in this relationship because she doesn't need me.
Is that the reason why you told her you were breaking up?
Yeah, I had to, you know, it got to the point where it was either that or me. And I hated to say it. I mean, she was a beautiful woman. We had a great relationship, but if you're not needed, you're not needed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'll make you feel worse than somebody cheating on you. Because I've had somebody cheat on me, and that's fine. You realize, okay, well, she cheated. She went on her own way. Found something better. But at least there you have a reason. You know, if you don't have a reason like somebody cheating on you, then you're thinking, well, hell, I guess it's just me.
What was the reason that you told your friends that you guys broke up? Because I'm guessing you didn't tell your dude friends that you broke up with a woman because she was checking out too much porn.
Actually, I dated her after one of my guy friends dated her.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the reason he gave me for them breaking up.
Really?
No, really.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. And you're like, that's one I can handle, no problem. And turns out you couldn't. Wow.
But at first, it was great. It was fun. It was entertaining. We would watch it together. and then you look up the history on the computer, and there's more of it there. I mean, she would find websites that I wouldn't even think about.
Wow.
Wow. Hmm.
This call might shock you guys. Yeah, I am shocked. Mm-hmm. Here is Miranda. She wants to be on The Voice Discusser. Hey, Miranda.
Hi. I am a cam girl on one of the sites, so I'm one of the live models who kind of work with the adult industry online, and I wanted to tell you that I think the stats are pretty accurate because a lot of times I can see my clients. Mm-hmm. We do cam to cam. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of women. I see probably about 25% of my clients are women.
No kidding.
Wow.
And what I think it is more or less that they're experimenting, like they're not really open about it or to it with other people, and this is how they try it. With other girls. I mean, I don't really know any other way to describe it. For me, I do it just because I needed extra cash flow. I'm in school, all that other stuff. But, you know, when it comes down to it, I also get a lot of the other models, the other girls on the site will pay me.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, when you have that dual camera thing going on, are women watching alone, or are there dudes there with them, or are they there with other women?
Most of the time, they're by themselves.
Really?
But there have been a couple who have been there with you know, some man. You know, I haven't seen any women with other women. I've heard about that from the other girls, but I've never experienced that myself. Most of the time, they're by themselves, and probably, you know, I don't know, one out of every 30 of the girls would be with a man.
Wow.
Wow.
So maybe this is accurate.
Wow.
The statistic, again, if you're just checking us out this morning,
shocking,
is basically saying that, one in every five women said they struggled with pornography addiction.
I'm shocked.
Me too.
Yeah,
I'm totally shocked.
I guess we have the stereotype that this is just a guy thing. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's not, you know?
This is The Burt Show. You're on The Burt Show.
If you're a new Burt Show listener, I come from a family background of just real dysfunctional family background.
Mm-hmm.
Just a sort of really callous, not caring family. My parents got divorced. I moved out to California to hang with my dad. And then at that point, he fed me a whole bunch of propaganda, basically, as a 10-year-old. And my mom and I didn't talk for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad really has never been a really great guy in my eyes. My mom, she's another story for another time, but he's done so many things over the years that have hurt me and my family. Just not a great guy, right? So we've had this on-again, off-again relationship throughout my entire life. Good times, then cutoffs, and good times, and then cutoffs. And now we're in a good time. In fact, it's probably the best time, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Calling each other probably once a week, hanging out with each other on the phone, sharing stuff. You know, things have been great. And this has been going on now for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
So this is new territory for me. I am just not used to being in this kind of place with my dad at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he calls yesterday and I pick up the phone and we're doing our normal chit chat. And he says to me, "You know what, son, I have a crazy idea." I'm like, "What's up?" He's like, "You know, me and my wife were talking and God, we really do miss being around our grandkids."
Oh,
like,
boy.
"I haven't even met Hollis yet," is what he says. Hollis is my 3-year-old. "I haven't even met Hollis yet. It's been years since I've seen Hayden. And now I'm getting older. I'm 72 years old. How much time do I really have with my grandkids? I'm really, really missing being a grandparent." So he says, "What do you think about the idea of me moving to Atlanta?"
Wow. That's a big decision.
I haven't even run this by Stacey. Well, I didn't even have a chance to talk to her about this.
And if you're a new Burt Show listener, your father's, he's suffering from emphysema?
Yeah, he's not in good shape. Mm-hmm. Like, he's 72, but he's 72, like, going on 95.
Right.
He doesn't have a whole bunch of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've had this, you know, stressful relationship my entire life, and now that things are going okay I don't know what to say to him, really. I was really taken back because my knee-jerk reaction inside was screaming, "No, no, 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 no. I can't do this," you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the words that came out of my mouth were, "Let me chew on it and let me talk to Stacy about it, and then I'll get back to you."
That's a good answer.
So we started talking about other things, and then he brought it up again.
Really? Mm-hmm. So they're really considering this?
Really considering it. His lease is up in Vegas. She has family out on the East Coast also that she's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him at one point when he brought it up again, I said, "You know, Dad, I'd be really nervous of what your expectation is once you get out here. Like, my time is so limited now with my family to hang out, with work and everything else, that I'm just really nervous that you'd move out here thinking we were going to see each other every day, or you're going to be over the house every couple of days. And mm-hmm. I don't know that I have that. Mm-hmm. And he said to me that this was really less about me and him than it was about him and the grandkids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
And I can't really call BS on that or not, because I've never been a grandparent, so I don't know how you change through life, if that bond really becomes very important with your grandkids or not. But I think in the back of my head, I was thinking, like, maybe he's using my kids to get closer to me. Because my dad is kind of, he's done a lot of shady things over the years. And I don't quite
trust. Well, if he's been in a good place for a year, I don't know why he would manipulate this situation to get to you for a negative reason. But I do think with grandkids, you get a fresh start. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no history there. He can enjoy them being kids, and they can know him, and it's not weird like it is between the two of you.
Well, and then if your kids get to hang out with him and his wife, maybe they won't have that freaky thing about old people that you do.
That's true.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, there is something really real to that. Like, for Hayden and Hollis to be able to hang out with somebody who's older and mm-hmm. elderly,
that's
like,
funny.
And not be scared of them or yeah. think that they're,
yeah, Bert,
you know,
get
whatever.
Get your kids an old person.
Well, they've got grandparents. They have grandparents.
But your dad, you said, is he's more elderly than mm-hmm. his, you know, younger, more fit and, you know, healthier grandparents. I mean, I think, just to because, be honest, yeah. it might be a good thing.
I'm at such a distrusting place with my dad. Like, my thought really was, okay, is his health deteriorating so bad that he's moving closer to me so I can take care of him in these next couple of years, like financially mm-hmm. take care of him?
Yeah, that's a possibility. I don't know about that.
Is that a bad thing? That's not a bad thing, is it?
I don't know, dude. It's impossible for you guys to understand mm-hmm. this kind of dysfunction because you all come from healthy families, mm-hmm. but I don't have the connection to my parents that you guys have to your parents. A healthy person would probably say, yeah, I would willingly go ahead and take care of my parents in their older years. But because I don't have that bond and my dad's been so shady for so many years, I would be doing it out of obligation and not really out of love.
I think most families, that's a tough decision regardless if you have a healthy relationship or not, because mm-hmm. that's a huge mm-hmm. change for your family, for you, for, you know. That's a difficult thing to take care of a sick parent. I mean, it's not a response. That's not an easy job.
And we're going from 0 to 80 miles per hour if he gets out here and gets sick like that.
Mm-hmm. Which is a possibility because he's already really sick.
Which is a real possibility.
But I mean, I agree with Jen on the fact of seeing because a kid should know that, and Bert, you should know that just because an old person, their body may not be working right, does not mean their mind's not working right, and there's not a lot to learn from them, Bert. And they're not anything to be afraid of. They're not going to come after you.
They scare me.
but also I do think that, you know, that Hayden and Hollis have the opportunity to have a completely different relationship with your father than you did. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we can attack this from a million different angles. But I just feel like they get the grandparent vacancy filled with Stacy's parents, and I know they're safe around them, and there's not going to be any hurt or anything like that. You know, they don't have a grandparent vacancy, right?
The way you move around, you know, their birthdays based on convenience. Can't you just get yourself another old person and say that's their grandparent? Does it have to be your dad? Can you just buy one from a nursing home or something?
Is that possible? Is there a place you can go to do that?
Uh-huh.
Could be an option, yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, in mid-August, it's a tax-free holiday, too, on old people.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can rent one.
Lease one. I hope when y'all are elderly, you get to hear young people talk about you the same way. People are so afraid of the two of you, and you're like, no, wait a second, I was cool one day.
Melissa.
Huh?
He is elderly.
And Jeff is
you're
already
catching up fast.
A grumpy old
right.
man. Q100 Bird Show traffic and weather. Here's Wendy.
Good news if you're on 75 southbound near that north loop. That injury crash finally been cleared, but heavy delays all the way back to Highway 92. Over half an hour ride from Wade Green down to the perimeter. Also heavy volume building on 400 southbound. Brake lights approaching Mansell Road, but heavy in spots all the way down to Abernathy and that merge onto the perimeter. Traveling in from Douglas County, 20 eastbound, a couple of brake lights right around Thornton Road, and heavier again between Fulton Industrial and the perimeter. Surface Street trouble to mention up in Gwinnett County. Have a crash Highway 20 at the Mall of Georgia Boulevard. Also up in Cobb County, have an injury crash reported Atlanta Road near that 285 merge. Traffic brought to you by Gables, taking care of the way people live. Gables.com. Weather for today, a mostly sunny day, high of 92. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high of 93. Currently 71 in Atlanta. Wendy on Q100.
Good morning, Mario. You're on the Burke Show. Hi.
Hey, Burke.
What's up?
You know, there's one other thing y'all haven't thought about is that maybe your dad is just looking for someone to take care of him in his old age if he's got all these sicknesses and everything, and he's just using the kids to get something, you know, to get closer to you. So hopefully you and your family will take care of him. You know?
I did think that, but he's got a wife.
Is she healthy?
Yeah, she's very healthy. Well, yeah.
Well, you know, she may not be able to handle it, or she might be the one telling him to get closer to the family so that they can help her with you.
That's actually a great point, because he told me this was her idea. She brought it up initially, and he thought, well, you know what? We're going to be moving from Vegas, so if not, then Atlanta would certainly be on the map.
She's clearly planning on bailing, so what she's doing is she's lining up so he's covered and she can get out.
That doesn't, I mean, you jokingly say that, but that thought crossed my mind.
When she gets out here and sees that selection at Johnny's Hideaway, there's no stopping the hormones.
Right. I'm sorry that that's how you feel, you know, because in a situation in my family, it would be the fact, oh, well, you know, how much longer do you have? Then make every moment possible with the people, you know, in your family.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with them taking care of you. It has nothing to do with them trying to manipulate you. That's family.
That's not how I grew up. That has never been the pattern on either side of my family. Hey, Jessica, good morning. You're on the Burke Show. Hi.
Good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
What's up?
Hey, I was just going to say that you should probably buy him plane tickets if he wants to come see the grandkids. That way he can stay in Vegas, but he's not living in Atlanta and he can still see the grandkids.
Yeah, that might be an option. Just like saying, hey, you know, I'll pay for 3 trips a year to come on out here. But
it's tough to travel, though, especially if you have emphysema. It's tough to move around.
And
that much.
Don't just get him the plane tickets. Get him the MARTA token so he can get from the airport up to the station closest to your house.
He can hitchhike.
Listen, it's the Burt Show. The Burt Show.
Consumer Reports, for whatever reason, just came out with this this list of the 10 most annoying things you deal with on a daily basis.
Okay.
Okay.
Anybody want to take a shot at what might be on this list?
Something in traffic.
Tailgating is on there.
Well, it depends on if you are in a place that has a toll booth, I guess. But I was on 400 yesterday. I got behind somebody who decided to chat it up with the toll lady. I mean, chat it up to where she was leaning over, and they were having a full-on, long conversation.
You sure she wasn't asking directions?
No. They had already done the toll and the thing, and regardless, I mean, they were asking for directions all the way to California, back roads.
That's
how long it took.
Yeah, there's a couple of places that you just can't stop and take your time. Like at the money machine also, get your money, move up 10 feet, then put your money in your wallet or your purse or whatever so the next person can move up.
Yes.
You're annoying.
Post office machines, you know, if you're mailing a package yourself, move the package, put the pieces on there after you're done.
I think there should be also like a rule at fast food restaurants. Like if you're ordering for the entire office, you park and go in. You don't stand at the speaker or drive up to the speaker and go, I need combo number 1, 4 of them, 1 with no pickles, no salt on 1 order of fries.
Yes. You should actually call ahead.
I seem to be behind that guy every time I'm at Subway.
Subway.
That's the worst.
Man, and you could, like, I have raced the dude that gets out of his car and you could see his yellow post-it note that he's got from the office.
No!
And I'm like, I got to haul ass in there and get there before he does.
Call it in advance.
There's a Jersey Mike's at my house that I'm like a regular at, and I have walked in and seen that person at the counter and turned around and walked out.
They've lost my business.
Because if you've got both employees devoted to that one order, it's going to be a while, because the freaking administrative assistants are always all picky about the tomatoes and whatnot.
You can see that yellow post-it note that he has everybody's order on, like from 300 yards away.
I instantly hate you.
All right, we're obviously not going to get to all 10 of these right now. No, that's okay.
We'll make
totally
our own
okay.
list.
This is annoying. Spam, email spam.
Yeah, does it work? Obviously it does if they continue to send it out, but I hate it.
I think that, I don't know. I mean, I think that all the, this is probably insider, but all of the like similar press releases about stuff I don't care about drive me crazy every day.
Well, they're so well disguised now also. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Both the press releases and spams are so well disguised. Mm-hmm. Facebook is doing, they spam really well on Facebook. Oh, I didn't realize you were in this video. You're like, oh no.
So you
click on it and they're telling me to order Viagra. waiting for repair people. So like the window, I think, of opportunity for them to, you know, the appointment time.
Yeah.
It's like between, hey, we'll show up. Yeah, we got you covered on this one. We'll be there sometime between noon and 9 o'clock at night.
Yes. Five-hour window.
To be there the whole time.
Yeah. I should be able to tell them, well, I might pay you anywhere from $5 to $80, depending on what time you get there.
That's awesome.
Should be on a sliding scale. What's that?
It's like in the last hour. So you're waiting 5 hours, and then all of a sudden, it's in the last 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Get it. The Bird Show.